Bedtime Stories is recorded and produced in the Coastside Buzz Studios by Michelle Dragony. Sheep in a Jeep was recorded by the Coastal Butterfly on June 22nd, 2016. If you enjoyed listening to this bedtime story, you may enjoy reading it too. Buy the book at a local coastal bookstore. Sheep in a Jeep by Nancy Shaw, illustrated by Margot Apple, and published by Houghton Mifflin Company, Boston, in 1986. I'm reading this story for my friend Harry the Y, producer of Coastside Buzz's Coastside Musicians, whose Jeep was a heap this week. Meet, meet, sheep in a Jeep on a hill that's steep. Uh-oh, the Jeep won't go. Sheep leap to push the Jeep. Sheep shove, sheep grunt. Sheep don't think to look up front. Jeep goes splash, Jeep goes thud. Jeep goes deep in gooey mud. Sheep tug, sheep shrug. Sheep yelp, sheep get help. Jeep comes out, sheep shout, sheep cheer. Oh dear, the driver sheep forgets to steer. Jeep in a heap, sheep weep, sheep sweep the heap. Jeep for sale, Jeep. The end. Bedtime Stories is recorded and produced in the Coastside Buzz Studios by Michelle Dragony. Mr. Peabody's Apples by Madonna. Art by Lauren Long. The following message is from Madonna. This book was inspired by a nearly 300-year-old story that was told to me by my Kabbalah teacher. It is about the power of words and how we must choose them carefully to avoid causing harm to others. The Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name, who was the author of the original story, was also a great teacher. He dedicated his life to helping others and stressed the value and importance of love for all people. I hope I have done his story justice. This book is dedicated to teachers everywhere. Madonna. Mr. Peabody's Apples is published by Scholastic, Inc. in 2003. In the town of Happyville, which wasn't a very big town, Mr. Peabody was congratulating his Little League team on a great game. They had not won, but no one really cared because they'd had such a good time playing. Mr. Peabody was the history teacher at the local elementary school, and in the summertime, he dedicated every Saturday to organizing baseball games with other schools. Billy Little, who wasn't a very big boy, was one of Mr. Peabody's students. He loved baseball more than anything, and he thought Mr. Peabody was the greatest. After each game, he would always stay to help pick up all the bats and balls. And when they were finished, Mr. Peabody would smile and say, "Thanks, Billy. Good job. I'll see you next Saturday." Then he would walk home along the main street of Happyville, waving hello to everyone he knew, and everyone would wave hello back. Along the way, he passed Mr. Funkadelly's Fruit Market. Here, Mr. Peabody would stop and admire Mr. Funkadelly's fresh apples. He would pick out the shiniest apple, drop it in his bag, and continue on his way. Across the street, Tommy Tittlebottom watched with curiosity as Mr. Peabody walked away with the apple. "That's strange," Tommy said to himself. "Mr. Peabody didn't pay anyone for that apple." Tommy got on his skateboard and rushed to tell his friends. The following Saturday, Mr. Peabody's team played another game, and they lost, as usual, but no one seemed to care because they had such a good time playing. Billy picked up the balls and bats, and Mr. Peabody set off on his walk home. He waved to everyone he knew, and they waved back. Once again, he stopped outside Mr. Funkadelly's fruit market, picked up the shiniest apple, dropped it in his bag, and continued on his way. Across the street, Tommy Tittlebottom and his friends watched Mr. Peabody, and they were amazed at what they saw. Mr. Peabody had not paid for his apple. They couldn't wait to tell all of their friends, who told their parents, who told their neighbors, who told their friends in the town of Happyville, which wasn't a very big town. The Saturday after that, Mr. Peabody was standing all alone on the baseball field, wondering where everybody was. Then he saw Billy walking toward him with a sad look on his face. "Hello, Billy. I'm glad you're here. But where is the rest of the team?" asked Mr. Peabody. Billy remained silent. "What is it, Billy?" he asked again. Billy didn't look up. "Everybody thinks you're a thief," he said to the ground. Mr. Peabody looked confused. He took off his hat and scratched his head. "Who says I'm a thief, Billy? And what did I steal?" he asked. "Tommy Tittlebottom and his friends said they saw you take an apple from Mr. Funkadelly's fruit market twice, and they said you didn't pay for them," answered Billy. "Ah," said Mr. Peabody, putting his hat back on his head. "Well, let's go talk to Mr. Funkadelly about it, shall we?" They walked down the main street, which wasn't a very big street, and Mr. Peabody waved to all the people he knew. But now some of them did not wave back, and some pretended they did not even see him. They finally arrived at Mr. Funkadelly's fruit market. Out popped Mr. Funkadelly, who said,
"Hey, what are you doing here, Mr. Peabody? Why aren't you at the game?"
"Well, there wasn't a game today," said Mr. Peabody, "and I was wondering if I could take my apple earlier than usual."
"Well, sure, why not?" replied Mr. Funkadelly. "You pay for them every Saturday morning when you pick up your milk. You can take them whenever you like. You want the big shiny one, Mr. Peabody?"
Mr. Peabody took his apple, smiled, and offered it to Billy. "I would like to take the apple, Mr. Peabody, but I have to go and find Tommy and explain everything."
"Well, when you find him, ask him to come over to my house."
"I'd like to speak to him, too," replied Mr. Peabody. A little while later, Billy found Tommy and told him what happened with the apples. He told Tommy that Mr. Peabody wanted to speak to him right away. So off Tommy ran, and when he arrived, he rang the doorbell, and Mr. Peabody came to the door. They looked at each other for a while.
"Oh, Mr. Peabody," said Tommy on the doorstep, "I didn't understand. I should not have said what I said, but it looked like you hadn't paid for the apples."
Mr. Peabody's eyebrows went up a little, and he felt a warm breeze blow across his face. "It doesn't matter what it looked like. What matters is the truth." Tommy looked down at his shoes and said,
"I am so sorry. What can I do to make things better now?"
Mr. Peabody took a deep breath, looked up at a small cloud that was in the sky, and said, "I tell you what, Tommy, meet me at the baseball diamond in 1 hour and bring a pillow stuffed with feathers."
"Okay," said Tommy, who ran off to his house to get a pillow.
An hour later, Tommy met Mr. Peabody on the pitcher's mound.
"Hello, Tommy," said Mr. Peabody.
"Follow me and bring your pillow." Tommy followed Mr. Peabody to the top of the bleachers, wondering what this was all about.
"It's a windy day, isn't it?"
asked Mr. Peabody when they reached the top. Tommy nodded his head in agreement.
Here is a pair of scissors. Now cut the pillow in half and shake the feathers out.
Tommy looked confused, but did it anyway. He thought it was a small price to pay to gain Mr. Peabody's forgiveness. The wind carried the thousands of feathers far and wide. Tommy looked relieved and said,
"Is that all I have to do to make things better?"
"There is one more thing," said Mr. Peabody. "Now you must go and pick up all of the feathers."
Tommy frowned.
"I don't think it's possible to pick up all the feathers," Tommy replied.
"It would be just as impossible to undo the damage that you have done by spreading the rumor that I'm a thief," said Mr. Peabody. "Each feather represents a person in Happyville."
There was a long pause as Tommy began to understand what Mr. Peabody was saying. Finally, he said,
"I guess I have a lot of work ahead of me."
Mr. Peabody smiled and said,
"Indeed you do. Next time, don't be so quick to judge a person. And remember the power of your words."
Then he handed Tommy the shiny red apple and made his way home. The end. This is the second of 5 books for children, even grown-up ones, by Madonna, and illustrated by Lauren Long.
Bedtime Stories is recorded and produced in the Coastside Buzz Studios by Michelle Dragony.
The Story of Ferdinand by Monroe Leaf. Drawings by Robert Lawson. First published in 1936 for Viking Press.
Once upon a time
in Spain, there was a little bull, and his name was Ferdinand. All the other little bulls he lived with would run and jump and butt their heads together, but not Ferdinand. He liked to sit just quietly and smell the flowers. He had a favorite spot out in the pasture under a cork tree. It was his favorite tree, and he would sit in its shade all day and smell the flowers. Sometimes his mother, who was a cow, would worry about him. She was afraid he would be lonesome all by himself. "Why don't you run and play with the other little bulls and skip and butt your head?" she would say. But Ferdinand would shake his head. "I like it better here, where I can sit just quietly and smell the flowers." His mother saw that he was not lonesome, and because she was an understanding mother, even though she was a cow, she let him just sit there and be happy. As the years went by, Ferdinand grew and grew until he was very big and strong. All the other bulls who had grown up with him in the same pasture would fight each other all day. They would butt heads with each other and stick each other with their horns. What they wanted most of all was to be picked to fight at the bullfights in Madrid. But not Ferdinand. He still liked to sit just quietly under the cork tree and smell the flowers. One day, 5 men came in very funny hats to pick the biggest, fastest, roughest bull to fight in the bullfights in Madrid. All the other bulls ran around snorting and butting, leaping and jumping, so that the men would think that they were very, very strong and fierce and pick them. Ferdinand knew that they wouldn't pick him, and he didn't care. So he went out to his favorite cork tree to sit down. He didn't look where he was sitting, and instead of sitting on the nice cool grass in the shade, he sat on a bumblebee. Well, if you were a bumblebee and a bull sat on you, what would you do? You would sting him. And that is just what this bee did to Ferdinand. Wow, did it hurt! Ferdinand jumped up with a snort. He ran around puffing and snorting, butting and pawing the ground as if he were crazy. The 5 men saw him, and they all shouted with joy. Here was the largest and fiercest bull of all, just the one for the bullfights in Madrid. So they took him away for the bullfight day in a cart.
What a day it was! Flags were flying, bands were playing, and all the lovely ladies had flowers in their hair. They had a parade into the bullring. First came the bandilleros with long, sharp pins with ribbons on them to stick in the bull and make them mad. Next came the picadores, who rode skinny horses, and they had long spears to stick in the bull and make him madder. Then came the matador, the proudest of them all. He thought he was very handsome and bowed to the ladies. He had a red cape and a sword and was supposed to stick the bull last of all. Then came the bull, and you know who that was, don't you? Ferdinand. They called him Ferdinand the Fierce, and all of the bandilleros were afraid of him, and the picadores were afraid of him, and a matador was scared stiff. Ferdinand ran in the middle of the ring, and everyone shouted and clapped because they thought he was going to fight fiercely and butt and snort and stick his horns around. But not Ferdinand. When he got to the middle of the ring, he saw the flowers in all the lovely ladies' hair, and he just sat down quietly and smelled. He wouldn't fight and be fierce no matter what they did. He just sat and smelled. And the bandilleros were mad, and the picadores were mad, and the matador was so mad he cried because he couldn't show off with his cape and sword. And so they had to take Ferdinand home. And for all I know, he is sitting there still, under his favorite cork tree, smelling the flowers, just quietly. He is very happy. The end.
Bedtime Stories is recorded and produced in the Coastside Buzz Studios by Michelle Dragony.
Walt Disney presents Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree, a story by A.A. Milne, read by Michelle Dragony. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, about last Friday, Winnie the Pooh lived in a forest all by himself under the name of Sanders. That means that he had the name over the door in gold letters and lived under it. One day, when he was out walking, he came to an open place in the middle of the forest, and in the middle of this place was a large oak tree, and from the top of the tree there came a loud buzzing noise. Winnie the Pooh sat down at the foot of the tree, put his head between his paws, and began to think. First of all, he said to himself, "That buzzing noise means something. You don't get a buzzing noise like that, just buzzing and buzzing without it meaning something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise. And the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee." Then he thought another long time and said, "And the only reason for being a bee that I know of is to make honey." And then he got up and said, "And the only reason for making honey is so I can eat it." So he began to climb the tree. He climbed and he climbed and he climbed, and as he climbed, he sang a little song to himself. It went like this.
"Isn't it funny how a bear likes honey? Buzz, 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 I wonder why he does."
Then he climbed a little further and a little further, and then just a little further. By that time, he had thought of another song.
"It's a very funny thought that if bears were bees, they'd build their nests at the bottom of trees. And that being so, if the bees were bears, we shouldn't have to climb up all these stairs."
He was getting rather tired by this time, so that is why he sang a complaining song. He was nearly there now, and if he just stood on that branch, crack!
Oh, help,
said Pooh, as he dropped 10 feet on the branch below him.
If only I hadn't! If only I hadn't!
He said as he bounced 20 feet onto the next branch.
You see, what I meant to do,
he explained as he turned head over heels and crashed onto another branch 30 feet below.
What I meant to do? Of course it was, rather,
he admitted as he slithered very quickly through the next 6 branches.
It all comes, I suppose,
he decided as he said goodbye to the last branch, spun around 3 times, and flew gracefully into a gorse bush.
It all comes of liking honey so much. Oh, help.
He crawled out of the gorse bush, brushed the prickles from his nose, and began to think again. And the first person he thought of was Christopher Robin. So Winnie the Pooh went round to his friend Christopher Robin, who lived behind a green door in another part of the forest.
"Good morning, Christopher Robin," he said.
"Good morning, Winnie the Pooh," said Christopher Robin.
"I wonder if you've got such a thing as a balloon about you."
"A balloon?"
"Yes. I just said to myself, coming along, I wonder if Christopher Robin has such a thing as a balloon about him. I just said it to myself, thinking of balloons and wondering."
"What do you want a balloon for?" said Christopher Robin.
Winnie the Pooh looked around to see that nobody was listening, put his paw to his mouth, and in a deep whisper,
"Honey."
"But you don't get honey with balloons, Pooh."
"I do," said Pooh.
Well, it just happened that Christopher Robin had been to a party the day before at the house of his friend Piglet, and they had balloons at the party. Christopher Robin had a big green balloon, and one of Rabbit's relations had had a big blue one and had left it behind, really, being too young to go to a party at all. And so Christopher Robin had brought the green one and the blue one home with him.
"Which would you like?" he asked Pooh.
Pooh put his head between his paws and thought very carefully.
"It's like this," he said. "When you go after honey with a balloon, the great thing is not to let the bees know you're coming. Now, if you have a green balloon, they might think you are only part of the tree and not notice you. And if you have a blue balloon, they might think you are only part of the sky and not notice you. And the question is, which is more likely?"
"Wouldn't they notice you underneath the balloon?" asked Christopher Robin.
"Well, they might or they might not," said Winnie the Pooh. "You never can tell with bees."
He thought for a moment and said,
"I shall try to look like a small black cloud. That will deceive them."
"Then you had better have the blue balloon," said Christopher Robin, and so it was decided.
Well, they both went out with the blue balloon, and Christopher Robin took his gun with him, just in case, as he always did. And Winnie the Pooh went to a very muddy place that he knew of and rolled until he was black all over. And then, when the balloon was blown up as big, and Christopher Robin and Pooh were both holding on to the string, Christopher Robin let go suddenly, and Pooh Bear floated gracefully up into the sky and stayed there, level with the top of the tree, and about 20 feet away from it.
"Hooray!" shouted Christopher Robin.
"Isn't that fine?" shouted Winnie the Pooh down to him. What do I look like?
You look like a bear holding on to a balloon, said Christopher Robin.
Not, said Pooh anxiously, not like a small black cloud in a blue sky.
Not very much.
Ah, well, perhaps from up here it looks different, and as I say, you never can tell with bees.
There was no wind to blow him nearer to the tree, so there he stayed. He could see the honey, he could smell the honey, but he couldn't quite reach the honey. After a little while, he called down.
Christopher Robin, he said in a loud whisper.
Hello.
I think the bees suspect something.
What sort of thing?
I don't know, but something tells me that they're suspicious.
Perhaps they think that you're after their honey.
It may be that. You never can tell with bees.
Then there was a little silence, and he called down again.
Christopher Robin.
Yes?
Have you an umbrella in your house?
I think so.
I wish you could bring it out here and walk up and down with it and look up at me every now and then and say,
tut, tut, it looks like rain.
I think if you did that, it would help the deception which we are practicing on these bees.
Well, Christopher Robin laughed to himself, silly old bear. But he didn't say it aloud because he was so fond of Pooh, and he went home for his umbrella.
Oh, there you are, called down Winnie the Pooh as soon as Christopher Robin got back to the tree. I was beginning to get anxious. I have discovered that the bees are definitely suspicious.
Shall I put my umbrella up?
Said Christopher Robin.
Yes, but wait a moment. We must be practical. The important bee to deceive is the queen bee. Can you see which is the queen bee from down there?
No.
Ah, a pity. Well, now, if you walk up and down with the umbrella singing,
tut, tut, it looks like rain,
I shall do what I can do by singing a little cloud song, such as a cloud song might sing. Go.
So while Christopher Robin walked up and down and wondered if it would rain, Winnie the Pooh sang this song.
How sweet to be a cloud, floating in the blue. Every little cloud always sings aloud. How sweet to be a cloud, floating in the blue. It makes them very proud to be a cloud.
The bees were still buzzing as suspiciously as ever. Some of them, indeed, left their nest and flew all around the cloud as it began the second verse of this song. And one bee sat down on the nose of the cloud for a moment and then got up again.
Christopher Robin, ow!
Called out the cloud.
Yes?
I've been thinking, and I have come to a very important decision. These are the wrong sort of bees.
Are they?
Quite the wrong sort. So I should think they would make the wrong sort of honey, shouldn't you?
Would they?
Yes. So I think I shall come down now.
How? Said Christopher Robin.
Winnie the Pooh hadn't thought about this. If he let go of the string, he would fall bump, and he didn't like the idea of that. So he thought for a long time, and then he said,
Christopher Robin, you must shoot the balloon with your gun. You have got your gun.
Of course I have, said Christopher Robin. But if I do that, it will spoil the balloon.
But if you don't, said Pooh, I shall have to let go, and that would spoil me.
When he said it like this, Christopher Robin saw how it was, and he aimed very carefully at the balloon and fired.
"Ow!" said Pooh.
"Did I miss?" asked Christopher Robin.
You didn't exactly miss," said Pooh, "but you missed the balloon."
"I'm so sorry," said Christopher Robin, and he fired again, and this time he hit the balloon, and the air came slowly out, and Winnie the Pooh floated down to the ground.
But his arms were so stiff from holding on to the string of the balloon all that time that they stayed up straight in the air for more than a week. And whenever a fly came in and settled on his nose, he had to blow it off. Pooh! And I think, but I'm not sure, that that is why he was always called Pooh. The end. As a note, the name Winnie the Pooh actually came from the son of A.A. Milne, whose name was Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin named his teddy bear Winnie the Pooh. Winnie came from the name of a black bear at the London Zoo, and Pooh came from a swan that Christopher met when he was on holiday.
Bedtime Stories is recorded and produced in the Coastside Buzz Studios by Michelle Dragony.
Skippy John Jones by Judy Schachner. Published by Dutton's Children's Books in 2003. Every morning, Skippy John Jones woke up with the birds. And this did not please his mother at all.
"Get yourself down here right now, Mr. Kitten Britches," ordered Mama Junebug Jones. "No self-respecting cat ever slept with a flock of birds," she scolded. "Or ate worms, or flew, or did his laundry in Mrs. Doohiggy's bird bath."
The lecture went on and on as usual.
"You've got to do some serious thinking before you leave this room, Mr. Fuzzy Pants," said his mother, "about just what it means to be a cat, not a bird, not a mouse, or a grouse, or a moose or a goose, not a rat or a bat. You need to think about just what it means to be a Siamese cat. And stay out of your closet," she added, closing the bedroom door. But once he was alone, Skippy John Jones began to bounce and bounce and bounce on his big boy bed.
"Oh, I'm Skippy John Jones, and I bounce on my bed, and once or six times I land on my head."
On his way down to earth, from a gigantic big bounce, Skippy John Jones shot past his bedroom mirror.
"Holy guacamole!"
exclaimed Skippy John Jones.
"What was that?"
So up he went again, and again it appeared in the mirror. Then, using his very best Spanish accent, he said,
"My ears are too big for my head. My head is too big for my body. I'm not a Siamese cat. I am a Chihuahua."
Back on land, Skippy John Jones climbed into his toy box and rifled through some of his old junk. After he put on his mask and sword and climbed onto his mouse, Skippy John Jones began to sing in a muy, muy soft voice.
"My name is Skippito Frisquito, clap, clap. I fear not a single bandito, clap, clap. My manners are mellow, I'm sweet like the jello. I get the job done, yes indeedo, clap, clap."
Back in the kitchen, Jujubee, Jezebel and Jilly Boo Jones were helping Mama Junebug Jones make lunch.
"Can Skippy John come out of his room now?" asked Jujubee.
"No," answered Mama Junebug Jones. "Mr. Fluffernutter is still thinking."
In fact, Skippy John wasn't thinking about being a Siamese cat at all. With a walk into his closet, His thoughts took him down a lonesome desert road, far, far away, in old Mexico. Not long into his journey, a misterioso band of chihuahuas appeared out of the dust.
"Ay, caramba! Who goes there?" asked Skippy John Jones.
"We go by the name of Los Chimichangos," growled Don Diego, the biggest of the small ones. "Who are you?"
"I am El Skipito, the great sword fighter," said Skippy John Jones.
Then the smallest of the small ones spoke up.
"Why, the mosquito, dude?"
asked Poquito Tito.
"I go incognito," said Skipito.
"Do you like rice and beans?" asked Pintolito.
"Si, I love mice and beans," said Skipito.
"He might be the dog of our dreams," whispered Rosalita.
"Perhaps," said Tia Mia, "if he knows the secret password."
Leaning toward Don Diego, El Skipito half sneezed, half spoke the secret password into the Chihuahua's very large ear.
"Ah, chupichu!"
"Bless you," said Don Diego.
"Gracias," said Skipito.
"Then it is true," decreed Don Diego.
"Yip, yippee, yippito. It's the end of Alfredo Bezito. Skipito is here. We've nothing to fear. Adios to the bambambolito."
Then all the chimichangos went crazy loco. First, they had a fiesta. Then they took a siesta. But after waking up, the chimichangos got down to serious business. Using his paw, Don Diego drew a picture in the sand of the great bambolito for Skipito to see. A great hush grew over the chimichangos, so great that one could hear a whisker drop.
"Alfredo Bezito," whispered the crowd. "El blimpo bambolito bandito."
"Si," said Poquito Tito.
"The bandito steals our frijoles."
"Not your beans,"
cried Skipito, outraged.
"Si," Poquito continued.
"Red beans, black beans, Boston baked and blue, cocoa, coffee, kidney beans, pinto and jelly too.
And now he comes for us,"
Poquito added.
"Por qué?"
asked Skipito.
"Because we are full of the beans, too."
Then Don Diego stood tall and in his most somber voice declared,
"Yo quiero frijoles."
"Huh?" asked Skipito.
"The dude just wants his beans back," said Poquito Tito. "And you are the dog for the job."
"Me?"
asked Skipito. Then all of the chimichangos turned toward Skipito, the great sword fighter. But poor Skipito had no time for a plan, because in the blink of an eye, a gigantic shadow darkened the landscape. The chimichangos scattered in all directions.
"Vamos, Skipito! Or it is you, the bandito, will eat-o!" they cried.
Skipito stood his ground, but his legs shimmied and shook like the jello, and his teeth chattered like the castanets. Then, in a muy, muy soft voice, he said,
"My name is Skipito Frisquito. I fear not a single bandito."
But Alfred Bezito flew straight for Skipito, until the bean-eating bandito hovered only inches away from the great sword fighter's face.
"Holy frijoles!"
cried Skipito as he thrust his sword in the air. Suddenly, pop! went the bandito, landing on Skipito's sword. And quicker than one could say, Chihuahua cheese and crackers. Every kind of bean came spilling out of Alfredo Bazito, the bumbolito, bandito.
Yip, yippee, yippito. Our hero is El Skipito. He's the dog of our dreams who delivered the beans, and now we can make our burritos.
But back at home, there was such a ruckus coming from Skippy John's room that Mama Junebug Jones and the girls just had to find out what was going on. They raced down the hall to the kitty boy's room. Bangito, crashito, papito, Skippito. Just in time to see Skippy John's closet exploding. Then out flew Candy, beanbag doggies, and the kitty boy with his birthday pinata on his head. Skippy John Jones, everyone cried.
Hola, muchachitas, he said in a muy, muy soft voice.
Mama Junebug Jones lifted up Skippy John and covered his head with furry, purry kisses. What am I going to do with you, Mr. Cocoa Pugs? She scolded. That night, when he was supposed to be going to sleep, Skippy John began to bounce and bounce on his big boy bed. Oh, I'm Skippy John Jones with a mind of my own, and I'll bounce on my bed for hours. I know that I'm a cat, but forget about that.
Say goodnight, Skippy John Jones, called his mother. Buenas noches, mis amigos, said Skippy John Jones. The end.
Skippy John Jones was read and sung a little bit by Michelle Dragony.